This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. During the coronavirus pandemic, Arts Build, the nonprofit here in the Chattanooga area, has been helping artists hit hard by job losses and canceled gigs. Rodney Van Valkenburg is vice president of Arts Build.
Rodney, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Tell us the latest at Arts Build, starting with the Emergency Fund for Artists.
Sure. Arts Build is our community's arts council, arts funding organization. So really, this is a time where the community turns to organizations like Arts Build for help, for guidance, to deal with crisis situations. And we're certainly in that crisis mode. One of the sectors of the community that has really been hit very hard by the COVID crisis is our artists and the arts organizations, but particularly individual artists. Nationally, the unemployment rate for artists is 60%, according to Americans for the Arts. It's been a huge impact. Matter of fact, I'll just throw out for artists and arts organizations, the impact of the COVID crisis has resulted into a loss of almost $2 million for our local community. And nationally, it's like $4 billion. $4 billion nationally has had a negative impact on the economy. So one of the things that we at Arts Build, one of the first things we did was realizing how hard hit individual artists who, like all people who are self-employed people, that their work just dried up. And so we wanted to really find a way to answer that. So we repositioned some funds to create an emergency artist fund to provide $500 grants. And we collected some additional fundings from foundations and generous members of the community. And I'm proud to say that to date, we have funded 88 artists, individual artists, up to $500. So we're very proud to have given that support.
That support goes on, and you need the support to continue providing that support.
Exactly. So we're still raising money to keep that fund going. Right now, we're not accepting applications until we replenish that fund some more, but certainly it's been a major impact, and $500 goes a long way when you don't see all your other income is dried up. And certainly, you know, the longer this goes on, the more the need becomes. So these are like many self-employed individuals that they really relied on job after job, having either gigs playing for local restaurants, for instance, or teaching classes. So we had a lot of requests from artists that were teaching classes, and that just all dried up. Or they were going to show their art in festivals around the country. It's like for everybody that the blanket was just yanked out from underneath everybody. And that loss of income is just very disastrous, as that is their only sense of income.
Let's talk about how Arts Build has been gathering artists and arts groups and keeping them connected in our community during this time.
We've been meeting once a week virtually on Zoom Fridays, and actually we've now opened it up. It's been so popular, we've opened up to the general public. So if you check Arts Build's Facebook page, you can just register and join the conversation. It's every Friday morning at 10:30 for about an hour. And it's a way for us. Initially, we were talking about issues about helping artists and arts organizations apply for the small business loans. Also, we're providing lots of information to self-employed artists about unemployment and arts organizations, how they would perhaps handle if they had to furlough different artists and their employees. So we've provided that professional development. But then that kind of changed and grew to sharing what people are doing in the community to help people cope with the COVID crisis. So it's not just about looking inward towards the arts community needing help, but how can the arts community help the Chattanooga community overall?
What are some examples of that in action that we might have seen in the media, especially social media?
Well, we have Mark Making is a great example. Mark Making made cards. They engaged a spoken word artist, Erica Roberts, to create a poem, and they created original artwork to create these cards as a thank you to the first responders. It's been a very successful project. There's been different organizations, Art 120, and also the Heart Gallery have provided art kits, particularly Art 120 to provide these kits along with Glasshouse Collective to students at Hardy Elementary School. So the students, of course, need to keep occupied. They've missed their visual art class in school. And so they provided some of these art kits that are art supplies so that they can continue to stay active through the arts, which is a very positive way to keep active during these times. Those are some great examples of really stepping up and reaching out and helping our community.
And you talk about how important it is to project that positivity through the arts at this time, what it's like to cope. You have been working for the arts for a long, long time, and you've seen tough times for the arts, but nothing quite like this.
I've been in Chattanooga now for 37 years, so this took me back to 2008. I was working at Arts Build or Allied Arts at the time in 2008 during the recession, but this is so different because even during 2008, everything didn't just come to a halt. Even though it was a recession, we kept open and we kept busy and we kept producing. But this is the first time that any of us can remember of just everything coming to a halt. And what we're finding is that the arts provide great therapy because the arts help you try to make sense of what you can't make sense of. You know, you can't put things into words about what you're thinking, what you're feeling. It's sometimes difficult to come out with the exact words to explain what's going on. And we find that through the arts, that people are able to communicate their thoughts and feelings in this positive way to share what's going on. So it's very important that that happens. Also a very important part of this is also looking at the economic impact that in addition to the arts being therapeutic and helping us deal with these cases, we also have to be very much aware that the arts are a huge economic driver, that the arts are important to get open because once you have the arts open, the people going to the theater center, or going to the Hunter Museum, going to the symphony, that it's not just supporting those organizations, but when people go to those events, that they are spending money in restaurants, they are paying for parking, they are spending money. So it really does have a huge economic impact, which typically is about $170 million each year to support our local economy, if you add everything up.
Where can people go online to follow everything that Arts Build does?
You can go to our website, which is artsbuild.com. So artsbuild.com, which has all the information right there. Our Facebook page is always very active. It's a great resource. So we look at it not just to talk about Arts Build, but if you want to know the most recent research and information about what's going on in the community, it's great to check out our Facebook page, our Arts Build Facebook page.
Rodney, thanks so much.
Well, thanks for having me. This has been great to share with you.
Motivo is a tele-supervision tool for mental health professionals. The online platform, developed here in Chattanooga, makes it easier for therapists to obtain their licenses so people can use their services. Rachel McCrickard is founder and CEO of Motivo, now based in Atlanta. She's also a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Sure, yeah, happy to be here. Thanks, Ray.
How did you come up with the idea for the app called Motivo?
I came up with it after I experienced the problem myself on my own road to licensure as a marriage and family therapist. So just in short, what Motivo does is we provide the clinical supervision hours that all therapists, social workers, psychologists need in order to become licensed by their state board. And these supervision hours are sometimes difficult to find. You can think of them sort of like residency for a doctor, that you need about 2 years of working under another therapist, you called your clinical supervisor, before you can be licensed independently. But because there's a shortage of mental health providers throughout the U.S., there's also a shortage of clinical supervisors for these new therapists. So I was driving 2 hours from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Atlanta in order to get to the closest clinical supervisor for 2 years. And so supervision was a pain point for me. It wasn't accessible to me. And I came up with the idea for Motivo after I saw that state boards had begun to allow these hours to be accrued online through telehealth. And that's when I started Motivo.
Now, this was before the coronavirus pandemic hit. This has been around for a couple of years, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes.
So when you say need for mental health professionals, that was a need that existed before the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, says that 55% of U.S. counties, all of them rural, have no practicing mental health providers. So the shortage of mental health providers, particularly in underserved areas of our country, is a real and present thing that has only been growing as the stigma related to mental health care lessens and more people try to find therapists.
How has this app helped in just a few years of being around?
We've helped over 1,000 therapists acquire the supervision hours that they need for licensure. 73% of those therapists live in what's called mental health professional shortage areas, so areas where there aren't enough mental health providers. So we're helping that way, just extending the need and the accessibility of mental health providers in rural areas, and then just making it a little easier and more accessible for people to acquire these mandatory supervision hours.
Are most of the people that you've been helping, are they in rural areas, and how many of them are in the Southeast and in our own area?
So yes, definitely about 73% are from rural areas, underserved parts of the country that don't have enough mental health providers. And then the Southeast is definitely our largest area. And I think that's because it's where I am. It's where the company was founded. Georgia was one of the very first states to pass this rule to allow all of your supervision hours to occur online. So I would say about 30 to 40% of our current supervisees, pre-licensed therapists, are in the Southeast.
And what were some of the things that you learned in rolling out this app before the pandemic hit?
So much. I learned a lot throughout the whole entire process. You know, I learned that the licensure rules in each state are different and pretty complex and difficult for new therapists. These are recent graduates. It's difficult for them to understand. So a lot of times the rules aren't super clear. For instance, Tennessee is one of them, actually, where supervision is only allowed online if you ask the board's permission and you demonstrate a hardship that makes you need supervision online, which is kind of in direct conflict with some of Governor Lee's work towards removing bottlenecks in the workforce development pipeline. This is a real easy, simple way to make licensure for therapists more accessible for people who live in rural areas. But Tennessee is actually one of the harder states to provide this service in.
How have you had to adjust, if at all, during the coronavirus pandemic? The app that you came up with, tailor-made for such a difficult situation as what we're seeing now.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's been super timely for us to already have this solution in place for therapists who need to move their supervision hours online really quickly and efficiently. So I would say one of the great things that has happened is that because of the COVID pandemic, state boards have had to get really clear on what their telesupervision rules are. And so that's just created a lot of clarity in a place where before there was a lot of confusion. After COVID, we'll see how everything kind of readjusts, but really, from this point forward, those supervision rules are going to be more clear for licensees because the board has had to define them a little bit more clearly.
What are you hearing from mental health professionals out in the field, even remotely through a screen at this time?
They're really struggling. One of my therapist friends told me what's difficult about being a therapist during this time is that we're experiencing the same emotions and high highs and low lows that our clients are experiencing. The country is going through a collective trauma related to job loss and grief and all of those implications of COVID. And therapists are not immune to that. They're going through those same things, but they still show up every single day via telehealth in order to be available for their clients. And I think that's creating quite an emotional burden for them. So they're really looking for ways to make things a little bit more easy for themselves, and good telehealth apps, I think, are part of that.
What do they tell you and how they're coping? And for that matter, how are you and the people you work with coping? Because you're hearing all these stories and you're dealing with people who have been directly affected by this.
I think that therapists are definitely taking their own mental health care a lot more seriously. It's pretty standard practice in the therapy profession to have your own therapist. That's something that's recommended for therapists when they're in graduate school. And in fact, a lot of graduate schools require you to have a therapist in order to become a therapist. They want you to experience what it's like to be on the other side of the room. So I think that therapists are probably engaging their own therapists to process the feelings and the difficult emotions that come with part of COVID. I think that I've seen a lot of talk about just being gentle with yourself, you know, really kind of accepting what you need to do during this time. And for some people, that is learning a new skill. And for other people, that is getting an extra hour of sleep, whatever that might be for each individual to take care of themselves is what therapists are encouraging people to do. It's not going to look the same for every person.
And for professionals in training who want to reach out to you, where can they go online?
Our website is wearemotivo.com. They can find us there, and we're happy to help any therapist who's looking for their supervision hours.
All right. Rachel, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Ray.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. In a moment, our own Will Davis brings us this week's Tennessee Valley StoryCorps.
This is Scenic Roots, and as we do every Tuesday afternoon, we have a session this afternoon from Barking Legs Wednesday Night Jazz Sessions from their Facebook page. Until the theatre reopens, they are streaming performances on their Facebook page every Wednesday evening, starting at 7. For this afternoon, a series of duets featuring Sean Perkinson playing guitar and Alan Wyatt playing first soprano and later tenor sax.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
From the Barking Legs Wednesday Night Jazz Facebook page, that was saxophonist Alan Wyatt and guitarist Sean Perkinson playing a series of duets they recorded especially for the virtual Wednesday Night Jazz session. When the theatre reopens, Alan and Sean will be back leading their quartet on the first Wednesday of every month. This is Scenic Roots on WUTC.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, Elena Nourabadi, Connor Brown, and Will Davis. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.